I think after that introduction, I should just like bow and sit down again. But thank you, everyone, not just for being here tonight, but for being who you are, part of this wonderful poetry community. I was never vivacious before I became a poet. So,
I don't believe that.
Oh, it's true, it's true. I'm going to break one of Jimmy's rules and say that I'm just going to be reading three poems tonight, but they were all published in Pittsburgh journals this year, so there's going to be some shout-outs to various people, some of whom are actually in the room. Poem number one appeared in the first anniversary issue of Rogue Agent, edited by the one and only Jill Corey. It's called Wonder Bread. Denied toy guns by mother, my brother sculpted barrels and triggers from Wonder Bread. Clown-spotted loaves of soft white slices, promising to build strong bodies 12 ways. Outdoing the commandments, which in those years of gray censorship, wavering across a convex screen, we watched broken every day. I don't just mean cops and robbers, or cowboys and Indians, or Ruskies and secret agents, or Nazis and war heroes. I mean, we saw Oswald shot in real time, pained surprise on his face as he clutched his sweatered guts. Chris was 5. He said, "Two wrongs don't make a right, do they, Mommy?" Still no solution to that equation. Vietnam crept up to the dinner table in those shadows, and then the assassination year, King and another Kennedy, cities crackling with fire and flame. Like London during the Blitz, 100 million charcoal briquettes doused with gasoline. My brothers ambushing and wrestling, although I think they shot each other less by then. We didn't get a color set until Super Bowl III. Now comes a year of Super Bowl 50 and still endless war. Despite technology, notions of nobility remain graven in Roman numerals on temple walls. Wind helps me sweep my steps of snow, whiter than a militiaman's fantasy, while pines stand like sentinels. Even in this city, stillness like the volume turned down. I bring a handful of crystals to my mouth, cold and chemical as Wonder Bread, or my own racked body. Poem number 2 appeared in Upagus 18, edited by the amazing Ziggy Edwards with the help of her son, Jude Rosen. It's called Suddenly. It's okay, Mackenzie. Rita, I'm angry, but not with you. Having woken to tubes and shame, white curtains swathing my psych ward bed like the membrane of heaven, I have no right to be angry with you. I'm angry at the way our lives implode like doomed buildings, like Three Rivers Stadium, giant concrete ashtray erased from the event horizon because it was too late, and things that seemed eternal weren't there anymore. Sucked into a black hole I can't flatten with the gravity of nostalgia. Danny broke your news in a bar where graffiti of poets and singers drips from the walls like tributes shouted through relentless rain. Constrained by his courtroom suit, though loosening the red noose of his tie. His face gone broad and kindly, like someone's father's, and his booming voice that has freed the innocent and guilty, kicking down a notch, as if a ghostly hand were adjusting an invisible stereo, finding a level for loss. I should have known, before I searched your obituary, told truth falling slant between the lines. Suddenly, no cause but that, no cause, had left a senior partnership, suddenly, was doing work in her parish, suddenly, a wonderful volunteer for her friend's school, suddenly, and in the list, no mention anywhere of your husband as a survivor, not one trace. Suddenly, God damn it, suddenly. Jump cut to our summer afternoon at Three Rivers in one of your family luxury boxes. Prosciutto lapping the silver trays, and you concerned I wouldn't eat anything. Me, the peacenik who never renounced hot dogs. You and your handsome husband were leaving for Ireland while I was climbing upward with mine, mistaking a wheel for a ladder. We were young. The air was cool and thin. He wore a Kelly green blazer. Early evening sun lit up your long red hair like clouds of glory. And after the game, as swept bases flared under hot lights like dying souls while the turf turned the color of steel, I felt no premonition, no shiver of the depth charges they would lay in those bunkers, tectonic changes, no ripple of that fourth river of molten slag that bubbles, insidious and furious, flowing under our foundations and through them, suddenly. Sometimes I think all of my poems are about death in some way. They're all elegies. So my third poem appeared this year in Pittsburgh Poetry Houses and at Northside's Randyland, if you know where that is, courtesy of a team led by the visionary Sarah Boyle. But it was published first in Good Noise, a 2014 anthology that benefited local musician and writer Carl Hendricks. So there are two shout-outs here. One is to Jason Baldinger, JB, the saint of Soundcat, and the other is to our wonderful MC tonight, the multi-talented and generous Chris Collins, who edited and published that anthology. And this is called, this was also a favorite poem of my friend Don Wentworth. I'll just mention that too. This is called The Ghosts of Bloomfield. They wear black, as is proper, scented with rose water or cigarettes or the harsh grapes of grappa. They play bocce after midnight, their balls clicking like lost rosary beads. They wait online at Donatelli's, clutching deli tickets the size of mass cards. They march in the Columbus Day Parade, strumming pale mandolins and faintly wheezing accordions. They steal the smoke of sausages frying in hot summer air. The petals of carnations fallen from second-story windows. The string still used to wrap meat in brown paper rectangles. They float like kites above the spires of St. Joseph's, spectral bricks from Pittsburgh's endless kiln. Their streaming surfaces roughly similar, never identical. Thank you.